This is Fuel.
Fuel for thought.
Jet fuel.
Fuel injected.
Fuel for your business.
Welcome again, new business fans, to The Fuel, the new business podcast. I'm your host, Keith Smith, with more stories and useful information to help you manage the ups and downs of the business development role. The Fuel is brought to you in association with The Advertist, the new business development platform to help you manage your agency's sales activity. If you look after the new business for your marketing, digital, PR or advertising agency, then check out all the tools at The Advertist at www.theadvertist.com or call the team on 0203 356 3717 for a free trial today. Now, this episode is all about networking, and who better to share a pork pie and a soggy sandwich with than our life and soul of the party, Jeremy Davis, who this week is making an exhibition of himself.
I spoke last week about the dark arts of networking at a conference or awards dinner, and of course, the next step up from this kind of proactive activity is to take a stand at such an event. And by take a stand, I do of course mean paying for the chance to advertise your agency via a physical manifestation of your brand, and not anything to do with standing up for your principles. Other than Groucho Marx's famous aphorism, "Here are my principles, if you don't like them, I have others." This is networking on a whole different level, and small talk is definitely not acceptable. Try making small talk with any of the delegates, and you'd be amazed at how many urgent emails suddenly pop up on their phones. As a general rule, in the social pecking order of these things, the people on the stands are firmly at the bottom, just below the venue staff themselves. Although personally being somewhat vertically challenged, I did bring an air of slapstick physical comedy to any event involving the deployment of pull-up banners. Your principal networking opportunity at such a do is, of course, the lunch or coffee breaks. But it's complicated by the fact that all the delegates do seem to have forgotten the basic rules of how to eat, like not talking with their mouths full or eating with their mouths shut. It's got especially difficult since someone somewhere decided that simple sandwiches are no longer good enough in these culinarily ambitious times, and everything has to be gluten-free, despite the statistical unlikelihood of anyone in the room being genuinely affected by celiac disease. There's always a long queue for the quinoa, because everyone in marketing wants to be seen with it. It's the marketeer's must-have accessory, in much the same way as the BlackBerry once was. It's unlikely that anyone will publish a bestseller called "Who Moved My Quinoa," although given the digestive qualities of the stuff, "Who Moved My Bowels" might be more appropriate. In moving towards more fashionable finger foods such as quinoa and couscous, the events industry has managed to find the only food that is harder to eat in such a setting than sloppy sandwiches, as picking up quinoa with a fork while balancing a plate on one hand should be an Olympic sport, and if your prospect does manage to get any of the stuff in his mouth, it comes straight back out again the moment he tries to speak, with a sort of machine gun ferocity that can either leave a dent in the wall behind you or take your eye out. While it can be handy if you've forgotten to exfoliate, it's not really conducive to having a serious conversation about brand strategy, much less closing a sale. But that's not really the point. I've long thought that agencies tend to approach these things as one-off sales opportunities, rather like a new business meeting, rather than as a coherent part of an integrated marketing strategic plan. But then, to quote another famous American, Mike Tyson said, "Everyone's got a plan until they get a punch in the mouth, or a face full of soggy quinoa."
You know, and people don't have much time, so that first meeting, you have to have done your research. So I always check people out on LinkedIn, find if there's any sort of common ground that we can maybe start from, which will quickly build rapport. But, you know, I would definitely say research and product knowledge is really key to any sales, successful salesperson.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. So said Rocky Balboa. and that quote could also be applied to the networking and events industry. Few industries have taken a harder hit from the pandemic, and yet in some areas, we see innovation driven by determination and positivity. So my guest on the Fuel podcast this week should be pictured holding up a huge belt in victory, because she's taken adversity and turned it into opportunity, and that's because she's got great sales instinct. It was a massive learning curve for me to spend some time with Katrina Sargent, who is one of the founders of the Business Buzz Network, once a nationwide host of regional events designed to foster new business relationships at the grassroots level, that pivoted to an online business with lightning reactions, and let's hope she can get back to that business soon. Nothing sums up the Fuel podcast better than this story, and I hope you'll enjoy listening to me interviewing Katrina Sargent of the Business Buzz Network. So let's go. So if there's one industry that took the full force of the pandemic lockdown, it was the meetings and events industry. And if there's one thing that makes us all better business people, it's the ability for humans to interact and non-verbally communicate. Ask anyone in sales and they'll tell you that the non-verbal part of a meeting is equally, if not more important than the verbal bit. So what are we supposed to do now? If it ever becomes socially acceptable again to gather again in large groups, we're going to be cautious. We're going to think twice when we shake hands, and it's never going to be the same again. However, another great attribute of humans is our ability to adapt to new and interesting environments. So my next guest seems like the perfect combination of all the finest attributes of people in business. Katrina Sargent has a strong sales background that would have been sufficient for most people, but she's also the driving force behind the Business Buzz Network, an organization that's had to pivot quickly to adapt to its business model from people meeting in person to people meeting virtually. And last week, I was invited to attend one of BizBuzz's first virtual network events, and I got to say, it was thoroughly enjoyable. So I thought it'd be fun to have her on the show and give you, dear listener, a solution to address the loss you're now experiencing. So welcome to the show, Katrina.
Oh, thank you, Keith, and thank you so much for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Excellent. Well, thanks for putting some time aside for us as well. Now, with both of your occupations, you're still in lockdown or semi-lockdown, right?
Yes, we're just starting to come out now, and discovering how much the world has changed in such a short space of time.
It's amazing, isn't it? But before we get into the nitty gritty of Business Buzz, could you just give us a quick rundown of how you started out in business and kind of what brought you to this place in your career?
Sure. Well, I've been in sales for all of my working life. I started out at 16 when my mum told me to go and get a job, otherwise I'd have to find myself somewhere else to live. And I stumbled across a stationery company who were looking for telesales agents. And I didn't really know what that was at the time, but I didn't have any aspirations to be a doctor or, you know, anything like that. And it was just an easy job to step into. And I found that I really enjoyed it. This was back in the early 90s, before the internet was freely available, and we used to cold call from the yellow pages.
Wow. So I've done it myself.
No. So that's where my training in sales started. And then I sort of ventured more into the relationship building of once we'd got new customers on board, upselling and supporting the reps that were going out at the time, seeing the clients, and then sort of more on the upselling of customer service side of things. That was my first introduction to sales. And because I found it quite easy, I didn't realise at the time, but I was already networking without putting a label on it. I was making connections for one client to another and, you know, making recommendations for people just by building those relationships. And then I was approached by one of my clients to look at a job role for a networking membership organisation called the Business Club that was based in Hertfordshire at the time. And I loved it. I thought it was amazing. You know, it was back in the day when memberships were sort of like all that was available was BNI, which was an early morning breakfast thing. Yep. This was an evening event, so we could meet and eat and, you know, have a glass of wine and we do a bit of learning. We had some great speakers coming along. And that was fantastic. And I grew the membership from, it started out at 27 founder members. And within a year, we'd got to over 100 members there. But wow, we wanted to find a way where we could keep in touch with the people that were thinking about becoming a member. And back then, really, social media hadn't really come into its own on, you know, promotion and being kept in the forefront of people's minds on events. It was all still done very much with telephone calls and emails. And that's how Business Buzz came about. It was sort of set up to keep in touch with the non-members of our community. Okay. And that was back in 2012 we launched that.
So it was almost like a keep in touch strategy for a networking event that inspired it.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And my business partner, Simon George, who I still work with now, he had a magazine called Hertfordshire Business Independent, now called Business Independent. But he launched Business Buzz with us as a joint venture as a way to promote the magazine and get sort of extra readership. Yeah. So it was a win-win for both of us.
Excellent. And I mean, did you have any kind of formal training, sales training? Because obviously the keep in touch strategy is quite an important part of any sort of sales process. But I mean, was this just natural? Is this just stuff that comes naturally to you?
Yeah, I mean, I have had training on the job. So after the stationery company, I went and worked for a serviced office. And then I worked for a magazine. So I had training in-house, but nothing official. I haven't got any certificates to my name or anything. But I think with sales, it's about your track record.
Yes.
And you're only as good as your last sale. So my ability to keep my customers engaged and keep them buying from me was really sort of how I learned. And I think, you know, with sales, it's all about building relationships. It's not so much the old school sales, you know, the old guard that sort of scare people into
always. And all that sort of
stuff. It's not like that nowadays. It's a bit more relationship building, and that's the bit that I love and I managed to excel in is sort of keeping those relationships alive. And certainly over the years with the introduction of sort of the social media element and how that sort of dovetails into you know, your CRM, it just sort of keeps you in touch all the time.
Well, this is all good meat for our listeners who are all highly trained salespeople. Looking back and everything that you've learned so far, has any of your training ever covered not being able to meet people face to face?
Certainly not in the way that you're thinking now, as in Zoom calls and video conferencing. I'd always shied away from things like that. But like I said, I started out in telesales, so I never started my sales journey in a face-to-face relationship. It was always sort of phoning. And I am quite auditory anyway. And from a very early sort of understanding of how it worked, I was told that I had two ears and one mouth. And that, you know, we should be listening to all the little buying signs and signals that customers said over the phone. So I would say that anybody that's had a telesales background, the transition into the online world is a bit easier than the more sort of face-to-face relationship people, because it is different and you have to adapt. But, you know, salespeople are brilliant at adapting.
Well, true, but I mean, do you think the same job can be performed the same way online, in a video meeting? I mean, is it, do you think there's a different sort of skill set there?
Yes, there is, but I think we're all in the same situation now, and people are more accepting of video conferencing.
Okay. Yeah,
I think if it hadn't have been forced upon us, there would have been much more resistance. If you'd have asked me 4 months ago whether I would do it, it would be absolutely no way.
Sure.
But, you know, it's amazing what we can do when our back's against the wall. But you do, you have to obviously take into consideration the difference of, you know, sort of technology and how people behave over, you know, video as opposed to face-to-face. And it's tougher to read people because you're not looking into the whites of their eyes all the time.
Sure.
And they can't always see, you know, what they're showing in the body language, because you've only obviously got their sort of mainly their head and shoulders.
It's a different situation though for you, surely. And I mean, it's pretty much for me as well. I mean, I was brought up in sort of phone sales as well, but that this is almost an extra advantage. It's a step up from phone sales because, you know, I think that, you know, being able to see people when you're selling all the time is a hell of a lot different, because in my day, you know, sort of when I was sort of doing mainstream sales, I mean, face to face was like the end of a deal, or, you know, at the start of a deal or something else like that, but never all the way through a deal. So I think, you know, there's a different set of skills that can come into play. And it's quite interesting for, you know, for people like you and me who were brought up just in the on a telephone environment, how that might sort of benefit us now.
Yeah. And I mean, I've only ever concentrated on business to business as well.
Sure.
I think obviously business to consumer is going to be a little bit harder via video conferencing, but certainly in the business to business world, you know, people are adapting and the world has opened up. So there's a lot more opportunities out there. You can have meetings with people that you never would have dreamed of before.
I know, that's a great thing.
You had to factor in the travel.
yeah, absolutely. You can suddenly take that meeting in Inverness if you want to. What are the kind of core qualities of being a good salesperson in your mind?
For me, it's about being confident in your product and having belief in it. I've certainly ended up walking out of a couple of jobs where I wasn't comfortable with the way the business was being run and what was being asked of me. So I think you have to have your integrity and, you know, obviously enjoy your product. And because I think that comes across, if you believe that what you're offering is a solution, then, you know, that you've won half the battle. I also think that doing a lot more research, there's so much information at people's fingertips now, you know, and people don't have much time. So that first meeting, you have to have done your research. So I always check people out on LinkedIn, find if there's any sort of common ground that we can maybe start from, which will quickly build rapport. But, you know, I would definitely say research and product knowledge is really key to any successful salesperson. And then the ability to communicate. For me, what I would say, you know, comes naturally, asking open-ended questions and, you know, sort of skirting, the buyer into your way of thinking and being able to explain that succinctly. I found natural, but I know that it can be taught.
When you boil it down like that, it sounds like a very psychologically quite a tough and demanding job. I mean, I'm not saying it's like anything like, you know, hauling coal or anything, but, you know, it is a tough job in terms of the kind of mental acuity you need in order to, you know, or agility to be able to, you know, to sort of keep up a good rapport with somebody all the time.
Yeah.
Not everybody's easy to deal with.
No, absolutely. And I think you've really touched on a really important part there of, you know, you have to have mental strength, because there are so many highs and lows, because you won't always get the deal. And you've got to be able to deal with that, you know, when you do get the no's. So, you know, it is a roller coaster of emotions. I mean, my husband never knows what he's going to walk into when, you know, when he comes home from work. If I've had a good day or a bad day, it's quite obvious. Whereas
on the floor, you're just a mess, you know. Oh no, what a rotten day.
Yeah. You do have to be very resilient. And, you know, I am, you know, luckily for me, I started out in telesales, but I've also done a lot of cold calling, door to door cold calling when I was working for the FSB. And, you know, you have to accept that you're going to get lots of no's before you get a yes. And if you accept that, then they're a little bit more easier to stomach.
And crying never won an account.
No, but drinking lots of wine helps.
So, I mean, getting onto the kind of networking side of things, I mean, which is obviously, you know, we're sort of drifting towards your sort of forte here. I mean, are there kind of sales skills that really kind of come to the fore in sort of networking, video networking events and stuff? You know, I mean, do you think that there's a special sort of way to approach video networking events?
Yes, and I do quite a lot of training, and it's not really changed from the face-to-face to the online as such,
right.
But nobody likes to be sold to in a networking event. So those old-school, you know, driven salespeople don't get very far because it's all about helping one another.
Right.
And you'll get businesses from all shapes and sizes, and you'll get sort of small individual one-man bands that might be specialists in, learning and development, right through to, you know, the large accountancy firm or the local bank. But they won't necessarily be your decision maker. So it's about building those relationships and actually understanding how you can get in front of your decision maker. And that will always be through recommendation and referral.
So it's, I guess, you have to know, you have to be very aware of your kind of soft selling skills more than anything.
Yes, yes. Right. They come into a real key point when you are networking. And also, you know, it's about, the BNI actually use a phrase of selling through the room and not to the room. And when I was training up my FSB membership advisors, I would always suggest, I mean, technically, everybody that's in an event could potentially be a client of theirs. But because nobody really likes to get sold to, you would sort of position it as, I'm looking to meet a business that does this, that and the other, that might need some support with, you know, HR or, legal advice. And then you can see the cogs ticking. And it's like, that sounds like my business. So even though you're actually selling through them, they then turn around and say, well, that applies to me too. So tell me about the membership, if you see what I mean.
Yes.
Rather than saying, let me sell you the FSB. So it's kind of just sort of like, you know, coming at it from a different angle.
Yes.
Being a little bit more creative with your offering. And I think that you learn that as you go.
And it's
in a networking environment.
Yeah, and it is more natural, isn't it? Just to be able to, instead of just, you know, thrusting a business card into somebody's hand and saying, you know, do you want to buy a Bible or something? You know, I mean, this is very much a case of, you know, how can we help each other? And, you know, if I understand what you do and you understand what I do, then maybe there might be a meeting of the minds.
Absolutely. And that's key to it. You've hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
Because if you can make relationships with the people that naturally refer business to you, then you only have to build that relationship once, and then they go on and do the work for you because they'll be meeting clients that they can introduce you. And it is about, you know, having confidence and, you know, and building that trust between you, because you can also do the same reciprocally, and then that works for both parties.
Yeah. It's something I learned not so long, actually, it was very, very short time ago after a podcast I did recently with a chap called Gordon Lee, who at the end of the conversation, after we'd done the recording, he actually turned around and he said to me, he said, well, you know, I really appreciate that and stuff like that, but how can I help you? And it absolutely, I mean, it didn't even register until about a week afterwards. And I was reflecting back on the phone call and I thought, my God, you know, that's such a nice thing to hear. You know,
it's,
you know, how can we help each other on that? And I thought that's such a refreshing approach to take, you know, given what we're all going through now.
I think, you know, in networking, certainly that's been around for quite some time now. You know, that kind of, how can we help one another? But also as well, I think another good way to make new potential clients is also going back to people that are already buying from you and saying, who else do you know? You know, you obviously love what we do and you know what our services are. Are there any other businesses that you might be able to introduce me to? And a lot of people shy away from that question.
Mm.
But it's certainly a very good way to get in front of new customers if you've been referred in by an existing client that is really happy with the service that you're providing.
So, what inspired you to get into the sort of networking side of it? Well, I mean, what kind of brought you to it?
Do you know what? I think when I first started working as the membership director for the business club, which was a franchise model, I just loved seeing people gain business and build referral pots together by just enjoying one another's company and spending time getting to know one another. I think in the sales event, in the sales sort of roles that I'd had previously, it wasn't, even though we were building relationships with our clients, it was very much a single transaction, right. A single way relationship. So I would deal with my customer and my customer deal with me. But in the network, it was everybody was helping one another, and you could actually see business getting done in places that you wouldn't have even thought of before. Right. And I really liked that. I've got a great story that I'd love to share with you about a window cleaner.
Got as much time as you need.
Okay, so when we were in the membership organisation, one of the founder members had a knock on his door one afternoon, and it was a ladderless window cleaning company. And this guy, Brett, his name was, said, "Oh, do you know, I can clean your windows." And he said, "Are you looking for more business?" And Brett said, "Yes, I am." And he said, "Well, why don't you come along to this business club? You know, there's loads of businesses in the room." So he came along as one of the guy's guests, and really enjoyed the event. And it was my job role to follow up with any guests that had been to talk to them about membership. And when I phoned Brett up, he just said to me, "Look, I thought it was a really great event, Katrina, but my clients aren't there. You know, I'm not going to get any business from it." So I said, "Well, that's absolutely fine." He refused to have a one-to-one with me. Anyway, a couple of weeks later, one of our other members, who was the business development manager of a really big school in Harpenden, rang me up and said, "Oh, I just wanted to say thanks, Katrina. You know that window cleaner that came to the event the other week?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I got him to clean our maths block. And it was really good because obviously him being ladderless meant that it was health and safety, all the boxes were ticked. And he was so good that I've asked him to quote for the whole school." And I then rang back up Brett and I said to Brett, "So this business network doesn't work then?" And he went, "I didn't mean to sign you." He said, "That's the biggest contract I've ever got. Where do I sign?" You know, so you just don't know where business is going to come from. And I don't just network at events. I network at weddings, on holiday, you know, when I'm standing in a queue at Tesco's.
It's a state of mind, isn't it? I think
that's a state of mind.
You know, it's a mental approach to things. And it's something that I think a lot of people that work in sales have in their brain, is the ability to read the room and to be able to remember who does what, and you know, and who's responsible for certain things, and to be able to put things together, to pair people together. And it's not just overt sales. I mean, I think women are very good at this generally anyway, is this kind of social, the ability to set out a kind of social structure in their brain of a room or of a company or whatever, a hierarchy, and to be able to put people together that might be useful to each other and stuff. And I think it's a hell of a skill to learn, and very useful. I mean, I'm always doing it. I'm not very good at it, but I always find myself doing things and trying to put people together for one reason or another, you know, just to say, "Oh, well, you know," that's why I think LinkedIn is fabulous for me. It's just like a playground, you know.
Yeah, it's a good place to start when you're building relationships. But if you go back to what you were saying about the end of that conversation, when that guy said, "How can I help you?" and how it made you feel, you know, actually that's really does speak volumes, because it makes you feel nice, and you know, and that's what salespeople want to leave people with, isn't it? A nice feeling.
Yes, a nice warm feeling, yeah. Now, last week you suggested I come along to the Soho event. And there was I think there was about 30 or 40 people there. There was quite a number. Once you've, the process is, for anybody listening, is that once you've registered all your details, which only takes a few moments, I mean, you can literally just kind of parachute in to a table of people and kind of join in the conversation, which is, I guess it's like real life, but it feels slightly different in an online environment. I mean, but it was very, it seemed very natural. It did seem very natural. So, I mean, did you have a hand in putting the software together for it?
No. So we actually use a software company called Remo. And we didn't have a hand in it, but it was almost like it was written for us, because it sort of transitioned our, face-to-face events to online very, very easily.
Right.
And certainly, the way that our attendees have embraced it have said that you can't, you get that same buzz feeling when you go to the event online that you do with a face-to-face. So yeah, we're really pleased with our partnership. And in actual fact, when we contacted Remo right at the beginning about exploring the opportunity, we soon realized that, obviously we've been networking with a lot of potential clients for them, and we've become one of their UK partners and preferred resellers in the UK. We can help them with a little bit more support with guiding clients through the process, because
so you can network just, for them as well.
Yes, they are just been overwhelmed with the amount of business that's been coming through their door since lockdown. So we were delighted to be able to support them. And we're having at least, a couple of conversations every event with customers, potential customers for Remo as well.
Right.
And giving them, some live demos and some sort of information about how they can use the platform to adapt for their business.
But you didn't come on here to plug Remo.
No. I do love them, because they've really helped us with our business moving forward.
So tell us about the Business Buzz Network. I mean, it, people sponsor companies and organisations sponsoring the sort of any events that you have. I mean, how does the sponsorship package work?
Okay, so we actually run, up until lockdown, we were running 35 live events a month. So they only meet
35
monthly. A month, yeah. So every single town that we had was meeting once a month. Let's use the example of Soho, because you came along to that one. Soho has its own sort of network of core people that come along to that event. Mm-hmm. And sponsorship enables someone to showcase their brand and network within the Buzz community for a monthly, well, it's an annual subscription. And then you can level up. So if you wanted to, maybe you had a more of a national reach and you wanted to reach all of our events, then we could talk about, a national sponsorship as well. And it's all about working together, really. So on the sort of baseline level of the events, we only have four sponsors that are non-competing, so they can all work together. And then at the regional level, we have the same again, so four non-competing.
I thought that was good. When I was there, there was a kind of a breakout part to it, and then the sponsors themselves had a chance just to have a word with everyone in the room at the same time, just to kind of give them the heads up about what they do and why they're sponsoring it and all that sort of stuff, which I thought was quite nice. And I mean, that in itself is, that's bang for your buck right there.
Absolutely. And that's what we do. We're very much, we want to showcase the businesses. We don't just take on any partnerships, and sponsorships. They have to be, sort of like within the understanding of how we work with, building relationships, and, they attend the events as well. And, because they put some money towards the events, then they get the extra added bonus of being able to present to the room, which not everybody can do. So it works really well. We have quite a few sponsorships that are regularly, renewing year after year, because they get so much from it. It's actually less than a membership for BNI. I shouldn't really say that, should I? I don't know.
Well,
I said it now.
You can say what the hell you
it's
want.
It's quite affordable is what I'm trying to say.
Doesn't matter. You can name
any soap brands you don't like as well. That's
other networking events are available.
But so how do people find out about the event schedule? Presumably you've got, schedule. I'm based in the US, so I've...
tomato, tomato. I know what you mean.
How can people find out about the event schedule?
Well, you can either follow us on social media, which we're on Twitter, Facebook and LinkedIn, or you can contact us via our website, which is www.business-buzz.org.
Right. Okay.
Or is that a dash? I'm not sure. Business-buzz.org.
I don't know. Hyphen works for me, but I'm old school anyway. But I mean, you've got the two elements now, because obviously you've got the offline and the online part of the business. I mean, is there a kind of a vision in the future to kind of pull those two things together and to sort of, you know, become like a kind of a network mixologist type thing and sort of get it really sort of fire it up?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, obviously, we would never have looked at online opportunities prior to lockdown. So now we have started looking at it. It's opened up a whole new world. So we're really open-minded to, we don't know what the future holds. Certainly, we know that for the foreseeable future, Business Buzz will not be able to operate face-to-face for quite some time because of the social distancing restrictions. And that means that we would have to change our format, and that we really don't want to do that.
Right.
And we don't want to exclude people as well that might not be able to get out to events because they're still having to self-isolate.
Yep.
So for the foreseeable future, we will be online, but we've always got the view to go back to face-to-face once it's deemed safe. And then I suppose it's going to be a hybrid of the two.
It'd be fantastic. I mean, yeah. There's potential with that.
Yeah, the feedback we've had, from some people that have been on our virtual events have actually said, I would never have come to a face-to-face event before. So we would never have found those people had we not been online, and vice versa. So there were a lot of people that used to come to our face-to-face events that said that online's not for them. So I think we're tapping into a whole new market, and that gives all of our attendees a brand new opportunity.
And it's very much goes back to what you said earlier about meetings and stuff like that, is that not everybody's got the time to be able to sort of down tools and go to a networking event, which may take 3 or 4 hours out of their day. But, they do have the time to be able to log onto a computer and spend half an hour or three quarters of an hour talking to people. So, I think there's definitely a good gap in the market for that now.
Yeah. And, we're not the only networking organisations that have taken to online.
No.
But I think that, we don't have a membership, so people can dip in and out, and it is about what suits them and their business at the time. So even when we were running face to face, you could just pop in for an hour. It was always town centre focused, so we were supporting the local community. And whilst you were there, you might pop into a shop and buy your food on the way home, or buy a present for someone, or maybe stay for lunch. So it was actually very community focused. Whereas, some events would take you out of town very early in the morning, and that's pretty much all you would do. It gives them a lot more opportunities to, go about their everyday and be a bit more flexible for their needs.
Right. Yeah. And I was just, as part of my research, I was looking through your Twitter feed, just on your social media and stuff. And I got to say, that's busy. You've got a lot of stuff going on. I mean, like you were saying, 30 odd events a month. I mean, there's events firing up all over the place, aren't there?
Yeah, so we started out before lockdown with 35. We just literally launched our Birmingham event, which was as far north as we went in the UK. But since lockdown, we've had inquiries from all over the place. And in actual fact, we've just secured a new licensee for Exeter that should be launching in September, October time. So before lockdown, we were on schedule to, get to 50 events a month by the end of this year. And I don't think that we're going to be far off that by the end of 2020. I think we'll get to 40 because we've got a few in the pipeline coming out. And it's all, Buzz is a license opportunity. So we don't run them all physically ourselves. our license holders use our brand and, you know, our tools and our network to promote their own businesses as well. So it's a bolt on to people's individual businesses, really.
And people can come to you and to find out more information about how they, you know, how they can become sort of either take part in it and or how they can license it for their own territory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before lockdown, I was thinking I wanted a national network, so I was concentrating just in the UK. But now, with all the exciting opportunities that the virtual events have given us, you know, I'm now thinking global. Just don't know.
Put me down for Chicago.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Well, listen, we've been talking for, 30 odd minutes now, and there's something you haven't told me. There's another string to your bow, isn't there?
Talking about my goal mapping, yes.
Yes. So how did you get into that? What is it and how did you get into it?
Okay, so goal mapping is a form of personal development. And I got into personal development about 12 years ago, mainly through the business club, that membership organisation that I spoke about earlier, because we used to have quite a few good speakers come in and talk about different things, you know, of like personal development and mindset, positive mindset and things. And although I absolutely adored learning about it, it wasn't really something that I wanted to go in to teach. I am a qualified NLP practitioner. I don't know if you've ever heard of NLP, neuro-linguistic programming.
Of course I have.
Yeah, most salespeople have.
That's why I'm mirroring you right now.
although I learned that and I sort of added it to my portfolio of skills, should I say, it wasn't something that I ever wanted to teach. I like teaching networking skills and telesales skills and things like that. And then about 3 years ago, I stumbled across Brian Main's goal mapping. And it's a system that sort of brings together both the 1990s mood board phenomenon, you know, where people would put all these dream boards, you know, where they put their like Ferrari up and their big house and all of that, and they'd stick that in front of them and that would spur them on to achieve great things. And also the goal setting sort of understanding of writing your goals out 100 times to make them sort of come to fruition. Yeah. And this actually really does bring them both together, because we understand that our brain is made up of two sides. So you've got your creative brain and your logical brain. So whereas the dream boards would really sort of tap into the creative side, the goal writing of the, you know, the goal setting would sort of tap into the logical side. And Brian Main came up with a system that combined the two. So it was a 7-step process about what do you want to dream, you know, what do you want to achieve, and then the who, the why, the when, the how. And then you put it into a beautiful document, and then that sort of brings out elements of your subconscious to be open to spot opportunities, because that's what sort of tends to happen when you're focused on something. So if you wake up in the morning, for example, when you bang your toe and you say it's going to be a bad day, everything you'll notice is going to be a bad day, just to reconfirm the fact that you've got up and made that statement in the morning. This is the opposite. So you think about, you know, something that you really want to achieve, and then things will come naturally towards you. And because your brain has to filter out so many different messages, it tends to pick up on those sort of the elements that you're looking to find.
And so
it's fascinating, and I absolutely love it, and it's great to see people actually bring their dreams into reality.
But you work directly with and through executives and stuff like that, I take it, you know, as part of this thing. I mean, what is it really just what do people get out of it?
So it's personal, I think. Although we do train, businesses, Brian is an international speaker. He deals with some really big companies like Disney, Coca-Cola. I've sort of niched in the franchisee and franchisor sector.
Right.
So I work with franchisees and franchisors to sort of make sure that their goals are aligned.
Right.
Because it's quite a big investment for a franchisee to buy into a business. And we want to make sure that they're getting a good support from the franchisor, and they align the goals together so that they match and they can be successful. I think it gives people confidence, and I think it empowers, you know, positive mindset. And if you have a positive mindset, I'm not saying that life is always going to be happy for you, but it does help build resilience so that when things do, you know, sadly not go our way, that you can always look at it in a different angle and come out with different opportunities. I mean, certainly we've seen through COVID that, you know, there are people that are thriving in this situation, and then there are people that are really struggling.
I'm so pleased you said that. You know, I had a conversation yesterday about this exact same thing, about what is it that we're actually missing from being in the office. And the overriding conclusion was we actually miss things, soft stuff like affirmation and counseling, you know, that you normally get in a group environment, and not actual qualified counseling, but the ability to talk to somebody, to be able to get stuff off your chest, or to be able to, you know, to do that sort of thing. And it's funny, because now there is obviously, like you say, with the COVID lockdown, there is now an opportunity for kind of micro counseling, almost, in terms of, you know, just helping people who don't have that kind of social interaction anymore, and are missing not just talking to people, but are missing being able to bounce ideas off people, or being able to, you know, to have their visions kind of, you know, double checked or something. So yeah. That's a fascinating side. I hope that grows.
I think also that it's worth mentioning that, you know, during lockdown, it has given people a lot of opportunity to stand still and think and reflect on what their life was before lockdown, and whether it is they were heading in the direction that they really wanted to. I think, you know, we've heard a lot about businesses that, you know, have had to sadly let people go and things like that. But there are a lot of people that are actually deciding themselves that, you know, now is the best chance to set up their own business, or, you know, change their mindset, you know, from all angles of life, not just about business. I mean, goal mapping does the seven areas of life. So your wealth, your health, your relationships. So we look at all aspects of life in general, and you can create a map specifically to what you want to make changes in your life, you know, across the board, not just about how to be successful in business. And I think that's mm-hmm. what I really love, because I teach these tools to someone that can make massive changes, not just in their work life, but in their home life as well.
Yes. And that's usually where the impetus to make any change comes from, is from the all the other directions, you know. It's, you know, once you feel that you've got everything else sorted, then that frees up your mind to be able to, you know, to be more successful in a professional capacity. But so with all this going on, I mean, you know, you must be pretty, you know, apart from I'd be interested to see how you manage to find time to sleep. But I mean, do you get time to relax to yourself? I mean, and if so, what do you do?
Well, I'm very lucky that I've got an amazing team around us. Both Simon and I have got, you know, 35 hosts that, you know, are here to support us. So it does sound like a lot, but, you know, it's managed really well amongst the team. And when I'm not working, I still spend a lot of time, in personal development. I watch a lot of podcasts. I listen to a lot of podcasts. And I watch a lot of videos on YouTube, from inspiring people. Uh-huh. And I just find that really interesting, you know.
Have you discovered Malcolm Gladwell's podcast yet?
No, I haven't.
Man,
you'll have to send me a link.
It's unbelievable. Revisionist History, fantastic podcast, really excellent.
Like Tom Bilyeu. I think he gets on lots of people to interview from the personal development world, and you know, it's so interesting to hear different people's perspectives. And you know, not everything works for everybody. You have to try different things, don't you? And some things will resonate with one person and they won't with another.
Well, that's why the podcasting industry is so fascinating to me, because, you know, it's a chance to actually have to record phone calls that I have with, you know, phone conversations that I have with people anyway. So, you know, I think it's, you know, it's a fascinating business, and I always meet very interesting people, and this gives you an opportunity, it gives me a platform to be able to, you know, to do that. So So no, that's good. So okay, so you listen to podcasts, and you watch sort of YouTube videos, video casts, and stuff like that. I mean, anything else to relax? Do you go walking?
Okay, so I
climbing.
We have a house dog, so I do take the dog out for a walk.
Oh, lovely.
I've got a VW camper van with my husband, so we like to go travelling when we're not locked down. We haven't taken it out this year yet.
What model?
It's a T2. It's a 1969. So it's actually older than me.
Sweet.
It's gorgeous. Yeah, his name is Pod. but yeah, so there's that whole scene. You know, we get involved with. But then I'm also a bit.
You're one of those, are you? The old
people. Yeah. I'm not so much into the festivals anymore.
I lived in that world for that. Quite fascinating.
Eventually, we want to go travelling for about a year in it. Yeah, that's a bit away yet. But I'm also into the sewing bee. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
The Great British Pottery Throwdown. And I'm really into these competitions, sort of like little programs that have each week they knock a couple of people out.
Right.
So I like it's called the Great British Pottery Throwdown. That's really good. So each week they have to make different things out of pottery.
Have you ever tried to do anything like that yourself?
No. I do like pottery, but I definitely couldn't do the sewing. They are so clever. When you know, each week I have to make different garments from different eras of, you know, fashion, and make things out of weird, wonderful stuff. And yeah, I think people are so creative. I like to watch it. I just don't think I could ever do it.
But okay, well, so what's on the horizon for you guys and for the business over the next few months? I mean, it's kind of a watching brief, is it really, just to see what's going on?
I think we're nearly at the end of launching the 35 events, so by the end of August we have all of them live,
right?
And then it's about the growth then. So we've got about 5 people waiting in the wings to open up new events in the portfolio, so I reckon we will get to 40 by the end of this year, and then we'll just see what lockdown and, you know, COVID has in store for us being able to get back out there to face to face. But realistically, I don't think that's going to happen till next year.
Right.
I can't believe we're in, you know, heading towards August already.
I know. I'm making Christmas plans already. It's nuts.
I know.
You know, but so anyway, I mean, yeah, it's going to be interesting for everybody. But I think it would be good if we could get all the details from you to put on the website as well, so people know where they can find you and what kind of events are there, and we can get a name check out to all your kind of regional. What are they? Managers, hosts? What are they classed
as? Hosts. Yeah. So we've got regional leads and hosts, local hosts.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Well, we need to make sure we name check all those, and I'm sure we'd all like to say thanks very much to them for all their hard work as well.
Yeah. No. They've been brilliant.
They are pretty good. So final question, and this is something that's now become a bit of an institution. It started out as a bit of a laugh, but we're following on the great tradition of Radio 4, and we're asking guests to name a desert island disc for our playlist. So one track, that's all you get. It's a disc or a book, basically, but one of each would be great.
Okay, so I've got, well, the first one's got to be Katrina and the Waves, Walking on Sunshine.
Oh, okay.
And then my favourite book, which I've just finished reading, actually, is, I can't remember what it's called, but it's by Peter Sage. Wait there one second and I'll get it for you. Hang on one second. Right, it's called The Inside Track.
The Inside Track.
And it's written by Peter Sage. And I bought it before lockdown, but it's about him being locked up in prison.
Oh, very appropriate.
And how he coped through that. And I thought it was really appropriate for lockdown, but it was amazing. It's a series of letters that he wrote to the outside world whilst he was locked down. But he's actually a coach, business coach, and he got put into prison because it was a civil reason. They still don't know how it happened, but he he describes, you know, the emotions that he went through and the people that he met. Really, really fascinating.
It's a tough world out there for you coaches, isn't it?
It was honestly, it's actually when you read stories like that, you just suddenly realize that, you know, how lucky you are.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we've been very lucky to have you on the show, and I really do appreciate it. Thank you very much, Katrina.
Oh, you're most welcome, Keith. I've really enjoyed it. Thank you much.
We will put all of the links to the show and to your the network events and stuff like that, and on the actual show notes themselves, so people can find you, and we'll do your LinkedIn profile as well, so people can easily look you up. And I hope that this might drive at least one or two people to come along to your events, because, as I said at the top of the show, they are good fun. They're very easy to attend, and surprise myself being able to mix with people, and it was great fun. So thank you very much, and I wish you all the best for the future, and hopefully we can stay in touch, and we'll have you on again soon.
That'd be lovely. Thank you, Keith. And yeah, we definitely need to keep in touch.
All right. Well, take care of yourself. All the best.
All right. Take care. Thanks for having me. Bye.
Could anyone be more positive? Katrina's enthusiasm is infectious, and I think it's part of what keeps her business thriving. We could all do a lot worse than have a glass of whatever she's drinking. For now, thanks to you for listening. Thanks to our lovely team, especially my co-producer Donna, IT helmsman Matt Smith, and Barney and Peter Banks for the music. Stay tuned for more adventures in podcasting brought to you by The Fuel, the new business podcast in association with The Advertist, the new business development platform for the new business curious. And really, shouldn't that include you?